In Buddhism, traditionally, in the Buddha's teaching, there are three principal objects of gratitude. In the first place, there's our parents. In the second place, there's our teachers. And in the third place, our spiritual friends. So I want to say a few words about each of these in turn. First of all, our parents. I think most of you know that I came back to this country in 1964 after spending 20 years uninterruptedly in the East, studying and practicing and teaching the Dharma. And of course, when I came back to England, there were quite a few things which had changed, quite a few things that I hadn't been familiar with before, and quite a few things that struck me as unusual, things perhaps I hadn't encountered, at least not encountered to that extent, in India. I won't go so far as to say that I suffered from a species of culture shock, but there were some things that certainly did surprise me, some things I hadn't really expected. And one of the things that did surprise me was finding how many people in England, at least among those that I personally had contact with, were on bad terms with their parents. I noticed this especially after starting the FWBO in 1967. Now, I'm not saying that FWBO people were worse in this respect than others outside the FWBO. It's simply that I got to know them better, of course, and they confided more in me than other people. And also, people coming into the FWBO were more concerned about their personal development. They wanted to straighten themselves out psychologically, emotionally, and so on. And of course, if one is on bad terms with one's parents, then something is quite seriously wrong. Perhaps it wouldn't be an exaggeration to say that if one is on really bad terms with one's parents, then one's whole emotional life, indirectly at least, is affected, perhaps quite seriously. So I used, even in those very early days, to encourage people to get back into contact, positive contact, with their parents if it happened that they were estranged from them for any reason. I encouraged people to be more open with their parents and, of course, to develop positive feelings towards them. This was especially necessary, of course, in connection with the metta bhavana, which, of course, even in those early days was taught, as it still is, in all FWBO meditation classes. One had to learn to develop metta. One might say, you know, if one wanted to be a little even cynical, even towards one's parents, which for some people wasn't very easy. Some people had had difficult childhoods. Some people had suffered in some ways at the hands of their parents. But even so, it was necessary in the interests of their own emotional and psychological and spiritual development to get over whatever feelings of bitterness or resentment that they were harboring. And some people, I remember, blamed their parents in all sorts of ways for all sorts of things. This sort of attitude is reflected in a well-known poem by Philip Larkin. Some of you may know it. It's a rather grim little poem, and it's called This Be the Verse. And in this poem, the poet Larkin tells you, in rather crude language, what he thinks your mum and dad have done to you. And he draws a grim, even quite depressing conclusion from that. The last verse of the poem reads, "Man hangs on misery to man. It deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can and don't have any kids yourself." What a grim little poem. One might even say, what a nasty little poem. In 1995, however, this grim little poem was voted one of the nation's favourite poems. It came, so I've recently read, 56th in the poll out of a total of 100. It came in between Thomas Hood's I Remember, and D.H. Lawrence's The Snake. So this fact that this rather grim little poem, as I've called it, should be voted by intelligent reading people, the 56th most popular poem, should give us some food for thought. It suggests that negative attitudes towards parents are still fairly widespread in our society. And Buddhism, as it happens, traditional Buddhism, the Buddha himself, has quite a lot to say about our relation to our parents. The Buddha himself has something to say on the subject in the Sigalaka Sutta, in the Digha Nikaya, the collection of long discourses in Pali. And the Buddha is represented there as saying, "There are five ways in which a son should minister to his mother and father." You notice in Pali it's always mother and father, never father and mother, and that isn't without significance. Five ways in which a son should minister to his mother and father as the eastern direction. He should think, "Having been supported by them, I will support them. I will perform their duties for them. I will keep up the family tradition. I will be worthy of my heritage. After my parents' deaths, I will distribute gifts on their behalf." The same applies in principle, of course, to a daughter. She too should minister to her mother and father as the eastern direction. She too should think in this manner. Now, there's a lot that could be said on the five ways in which one should minister to one's parents, but I'm not going into this now. Many years ago, I devoted a whole seminar to the Sigalaka Sutta, and I believe this is being edited for publication in book form. Today, I want to touch on something even more fundamental. So fundamental that the Buddha himself, in the sutta, seems to take it for granted. But it's hinted at in the imagery of the sutta. You may remember that the Sigalaka Sutta is so called because it is addressed to a young man called Sigalaka. Sigalaka is in the habit of paying homage to the six directions every morning. And he does this in accordance with the instructions of his dying father. But one morning, he meets the Buddha, and the Buddha explains the real meaning of this young man's father's words. But the Buddha explains that one pays homage to the south by ministering to teachers in five ways. One pays homage to the north by ministering to friends and companions in five ways. And similarly, one pays homage to the east by ministering to one's parents in five ways. But why the east? Why the east in the case of one's parents? Well, the reason is perhaps obvious. The sun rises in the east. The sun has its origin in the east, so to speak, and similarly, we owe our origin to our parents, leaving aside, of course, questions of karma, of which perhaps the parents are only instruments. If it were not for our parents, we would not be here now. Our parents have given us life, have given us a physical body, have given us a human body. And in Buddhism, the human body is regarded as being a very precious thing indeed. It's precious because it's only in a human body, whether male or female, that one is able to attain enlightenment. So in giving us a human body, our parents are therefore giving us the possibility of attaining enlightenment. And we therefore should be very grateful to them, even intensely grateful, especially if we are actually practicing the Dharma. Not only do our parents give us a human body, they bring us up, well, as best they can, despite Larkin, huh? They enable us to survive. They educate us. They may not always be able to send us to university and all that, but they teach us to speak. They teach us a language. And this is the basis of most of the things that we subsequently learn. Usually, of course, it's our mother who teaches us our first words. And it's for this reason that we have the expression, in English at least, our mother tongue. It's through our mother tongue that we have access to all the poetry and literature in that particular language which we learn in our earliest days. We can enjoy that literature fully because it's in our own mother tongue and not in a language we learn later in life. Not everybody, of course, cares to acknowledge their debt to their parents. Not everybody, unfortunately, is grateful to their parents. The classic example of this, in my view, in English literature, is that character, Mr. Bounderby, in Charles Dickens's Hard Times. I don't know how many of you have read Hard Times. It happens to be one of my favourite Dickens novels, and of course it has been made into a TV film, which I saw several Christmases ago. Mr. Bounderby is a successful industrialist, and he likes to think of himself as being a totally self-made man. And he's very fond of telling everybody that he is a self-made man. He tells them this on every possible occasion and at great length. He describes in vivid detail how he was abandoned by his mother, how he was beaten by a drunken grandmother, how he lived in the gutter as a child, quite literally, and had to fend for himself. He describes how nobody ever helped him, and he'd made his way in the world to become a rich man and an industrialist entirely by his own efforts. In the course of the novel, it turns out that all this is completely false. In fact, he had a loving mother who brought him up carefully and educated him and helped him as much as she possibly could. The mother, in fact, is still alive, but he keeps her at a distance, away in the country somewhere, and won't allow her to visit him. In other words, Mr. Bounderby is a monster of ingratitude. But why are people so ungrateful? This is something I'll go into later on.